Hello, welcome to Betch Slapped. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And there is no Jordana this week.
It's so sad.
I know, it's the saddest day of all, but she's having a great time in Italy, and technically I will be in Italy when this comes out because we were recording this a little earlier in the week.
And we're recording on our new microphones, which is very exciting.
Tell us if you like the sound quality. DM us at Aileen at Sammy. They're separate handles.
All one handle.
All one handle. Yeah. And what's up, Samantha?
I don't know. Nothing's really up. My mom is coming for this weekend and we are going to eat.
I texted her happy birthday and she told me, I was like, enjoy all the restaurants. She said, Sammy's not, I have to go to all the restaurants by myself.
What?
That's what she texted me.
Well, the reservations are for three, so.
She said, I have to go. Sammy's not going to any of the restaurants. I'm going.
Oh my God, is my mom losing it? You just revealed it on Bachelorette.
I don't know.
Because that's false. There are reservations for three.
Yeah, she texted me. I said, happy birthday, Aileen, blah, blah, blah. I hope you have an amazing day with all the good food with Sammy. She goes, thank you, Mrs. D. I think Sam may bail on the good food. I go, how could she? I was like, what do you mean she's not going to eat?
What is this lie? Do you think she's trying to cultivate sympathy so that like you'll go with her?
Yeah, it's possible.
Or maybe she met on her actual birthday when I wasn't there.
Yeah, on the birthday.
Okay, well, I can't be there and at work too. Although, trust me, I'd prefer to be in Florida than at work. Well, wouldn't we all?
That's really, I think she might bail, meaning like you already had the plans.
What is she talking about? No. What?
Ask her later.
Signal to her that I was going to bail?
I don't know.
But that's weird because, you know, I'm only looking forward to it.
I've
been checking the menu.
That's why I said in my happy birthday text, enjoy all the good food. Anyway.
What's going on?
You know, not much. I had an annoying thing to deal with Norwegian Airlines. I don't really, I'm taking Norwegian to fly to Italia and I'm not going to talk shit about them until I get back safely.
Oh, I thought you were going to betch slap them.
I'm going to betch slap them maybe in like the next episode in case. I want to be, you know, fingers crossed, talk positive things. I haven't left yet.
Imagine they like stop you. They're like, you are the girl who was talking about us on your. Oh, no, this isn't coming out till after.
I know. I'm going, but I also have to take him back home. I'm going to my cousin's wedding in Italy. It's going to be, I think it's going to be beautiful. I looked up the villa. It should be really pretty.
I'm sure it's going to be really pretty.
Magical.
Magical Italian wedding.
Yeah. But
for a non-Italian person.
Yeah, I spent the entire morning reading all about Caroline Calloway today just to like read up because I feel like we should talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about this?
Okay. I said this earlier to you, but you didn't really agree. I know this person. Like I know her. I've seen her in Cornell. Not actually. Yeah. Like I've seen her. I've seen her in my life. She's like the Jessa. She wants to be this like intellectual that she's not.
Like she's reads.
Yeah, like these artistic, intellectual, hippie, like looks like a painting from a Renaissance era. Like that's the kinds of Instagram selfies she takes with her like glistening cheek, you know, like that kind of person. But the whole thing is really interesting. The Natalie Beach character is much more interesting than Caroline Calloway.
Yeah,
I think
so. I don't disagree that you like know this person. I don't perceive her as much of a Jessa as I perceive her as someone who I can't name because she is a person.
A real person, not a character.
And I see that like behavior in her, like that like obsession with thinking everyone cares about your social media, the spending of the money, the like obsession with Adderall, like the weird relationship with the parents. Like, okay.
Why don't we back up and tell everyone what is the deal? Who is Caroline Calloway?
Okay. Caroline Calloway is a girl who grew up going to Phillips Exeter Academy. So she grew up in private school. Like she's like a rich girl, clearly.
Where's Phillips Exeter?
I think it's somewhere in New England. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But she's from Virginia originally. And then went to Exeter.
Okay.
Then she went to NYU for like a little bit, but only because she didn't get into Yale, which she's very upset about.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Why that's relevant. Then she met this girl, Natalie, her friend, who became her caption writer and her eventual book proposal writer at NYU. Natalie like was taken by her because like she was like fun and adventurous and like crazy and like never seemed to suffer any consequences, which is actually quite an attractive quality in like a sidekick.
That's what I that's how I picture the jet like Jessa. She's
that's
just
why you
like,
get into
is
that's why you entertain that person.
This fake free spirit. Yeah.
Right. Then
you're intrigued by them.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they're fun.
How do they get away with everything?
Right.
Yeah.
And they're easy to get along with and because they're not usually like a mean type of person. Like they want to welcome you, but only so that they can be in the top of the power dynamic.
Yeah.
It's like
they're like, welcome into my abode of life. Yeah.
Exactly. Then she decides
borrow my clothes.
Right. Then she goes. So then she goes to Cambridge, where she's a University of Cambridge student. I don't know how the fuck she got into Cambridge. Like, that's the question that that makes me feel very curious. Whatever. But so throughout this time that she was like at NYU and then Cambridge, she was building her Instagram following. And apparently she actually like bought a lot of her original followers and like ran ads. And she became known for the known amongst her like five non-bot followers for being like writing like very literary long captions.
Right.
And I happen to think she's actually not bad. She doesn't have a bad writing voice.
No, she doesn't.
She has a good one, but it's the things that she's saying that are just completely, totally delusional, I guess.
What I feel about the writing is that it's also very just like this is like the perfect embodiment of her. It's like, I think that I'm so important. Like,
right.
I think that all of the sentence, the way that my sentences are formed are so important. Like, you know what I mean? Like
this belief that like, you know, everything there is to know about the world. Like you're some, like you'd call yourself an old soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. And that the way that you write is
unapologetic
and is like,
but in a way that's not like doing anything for anyone.
But I mean, even like more granularly, like the structure of the way that she writes is so fucking pretentious that she thinks that she, like, she's the kind of person who wishes she was a Matisse, like in that family or some like descendant of a French or English painter or something like that. And since she's not, she needs to create that for herself. And therefore she writes in this format that is the way that she, I think, translates what that person would be like.
Well, I think that part of what feeds into this, her being able to become this person, is her name. The name Caroline Calloway sounds like a heroine in an 1800s literature.
Yeah.
Or someone, Gilana pointed this out, someone who would be in like the Click series.
She like seems like someone who would be married to like someone in the JFK family, like Kennedy family.
Fun fact, her name was originally Caroline Calloway Gottschall. She then legally changed it to be Caroline Gottschall Calloway. So that it could be like her real name would be Caroline Calloway. It sounds like in It Takes Two, like the mom was like Caroline Calloway.
Something. Or like
I'm pretty sure it was. Hold on. Like the stepmom. One second. I need to see.
Or like in Parent Trap. What's the
Meredith Blake?
Yeah. Like something like that. Like very noble. Meredith Blake's not that noble though.
No,
Caroline Calloway is like very like what's the mom's name in the mom's name?
Alyssa Calloway. That was literally their last name and It Takes Two.
Oh.
So Clarice Kensington. Wanted to be Clarice Calloway.
Oh. Wait, what was the mom's
name? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she were inspired by that movie. Because I was inspired by that movie.
What was the name of the mom in Parent Trap? The mom, not Meredith Blake.
Oh, shit. The dress designer.
Yeah, what's her
Natasha,
name?
Natasha. Her name was Elizabeth James. You're Elizabeth James.
Yeah. Elizabeth, it's kind of like that, like this like British aristocrat. Like something like that. That's how I feel like that's who she wants to be.
Yes. And the name does feed to that. Like if I just found her on my feed and I didn't know that all these followers were bought, I would think maybe that is this person
are
who went to all these
bought?
Private schools and go to Cambridge. I don't think they're all bought, but I do think many of them were bought because she was buying them early, like before people were aware what it means to buy followers, I think.
Yeah. Well, now she has almost a million.
She, one of her captions, like, I can't read them all, but like one of them was like, she was like, when I bought my followers, I took out an ad and I targeted people who would read books because I wasn't looking for followers. I was looking for readers. That's the difference between me and like anyone else.
Also interesting.
Also, you have an Adderall addiction. No shit. You're able to write like lengthy captions. Me too. When I have some Adderall.
She also in like the Natalie Beach essay that about her in the cut, Natalie said that her explanation or her justification for doing taking out ads was like, women often are afraid to promote their work. Which is literally the most 2019 justification of like,
she was giving it earlier
though. By yeah not funny. Anyway, okay, keep going. Keep telling us who she is. So she went to she got famous off of her Cambridge like stories
life, like her her fake, she called it like adventure grams.
Yeah.
But Natalie would help write the captions and they would like workshop these captions together. I'm like, what are you doing? You guys are just like,
and Natalie didn't have any money, Caroline would pay her to write her captions for a summer.
So sad. Okay, so eventually Caroline like becomes more of like a real influencer. She gets a book deal for several hundred thousand dollars and she promises Natalie that if she helps her write their proposal, she will give her a piece of it. That obviously never materialized and she eventually had to pay her publisher back because she never wrote anything, because this whole thing was just like an Adderall fueled spiral.
Yeah,
this is really what Caroline's life is,
right?
Then she,
if anybody watches Southern Charm, shout out to Craig.
She also was famous for, or not famous but infamous for, having like a little mini scandal where she tried to do a creativity workshop.
This is my favorite thing about all of it. Can you explain all of it?
So she basically like wanted to monetize, I suppose.
Yeah.
And she started this creativity workshop where she basically like sold tickets in different cities.
$165
tickets. Yeah, $165 tickets where she was gonna like teach you how to like make a mason jar.
It was a tour, creativity tour. She did New York, Boston, Philadelphia, all of those things.
And it ends with her basically backtracking on all of it, and she ends up basically asking people to come to New York, the only place she's gonna do it, even though it was supposed to be a tour, and tells them to bring their own lunch, which is like not how she advertised it. And so that was like a little scandal / scam. So that was like the last I heard of her. I heard about that a few months ago. Then this article by her friend spoken in like 2 years. Natalie. This story takes place over like a few years. So yeah. Natalie was writing a story for The Cut about what it was like to be Caroline's friend, which I assume just garnered some interest because she was kind of like a scammer type.
And Natalie's a really good writer.
Right. Yeah. And the reason this article got so much like traction is because Caroline was like writing about how this article was going to come out in her captions. Like, she was building the hype for this article that was like potentially going to be really bad about her. So you're watching her wait for this article to come out. You're seeing her anxiety come out through the captions.
She's like,
I'm finished with the fact checker.
Yeah.
And they asked me about something and like, yeah.
It was a comment about like how Natalie claimed that she was suicidal.
Yes.
About like whether, I don't know what
exactly. That was the one thing she disputed, the fact checking.
And she was like, no, I wasn't suicidal about like something Natalie said. It was about the fact that I had mental illness and it was because I was on Adderall or something.
Yeah, because she's an addiction to Adderall, amphetamines. This episode is brought to you by Simple Health. Simple Health is all about care that fits your life. They make birth control simple, convenient, and affordable with online prescriptions and free home delivery. Whether you're just starting to take birth control or you've been taking it for a while and you're sick and tired of dealing with renewals and pharmacies like I am personally, Simple Health will take care of you. All you do is fill out an online health profile. A doctor reviews that you're a good candidate for birth control and writes your prescription. You can pick the birth control you want or have a doctor recommend the best one for you. Then your birth control ships to your door monthly, no interruptions. It's free with most insurance plans and starts at $15 a month without insurance. There's really been no better way to get birth control until now.
And I think this is awesome because my whole experience with getting birth control has been such like a, you try one, then it doesn't work, then you try another, and if that doesn't work, you don't know what's going on. So if I never knew where to start. So Simple Health is beyond convenient. You don't have to wait in any waiting rooms or pharmacy lines because they're literally for the longest lines I've ever been on. You don't have to be judged by your pharmacist or anything. You can get birth control prescribed, renewed, and delivered from wherever you are on your schedule. And the reviews speak for themselves. Simple Health has been rated 5 stars by hundreds of women. So this prescription is usually $20, but our listeners can try Simple Health for free. So go to simplehealth.com/slapped and enter code SLAPPED at checkout. I want to mention that this isn't a replacement for routine evaluations by your primary care physician or gynecologist. You should still get health checkups as needed, but it is the most convenient and comfortable way to get your birth control. Again, don't miss your chance to try Simple Health for free. Go to simplehealth.com/slapped or enter code SLAPPED at checkout.
So basically, this article does come out, and Caroline is like, I love Natalie. Like,
now I can write about Natalie, yeah, is what she said.
Right. She's like, she's pushing all the publicity for this whole story about herself while being like weirdly like pitying in a towards Natalie. Like, I don't know. She's like, Natalie's the best writer. I miss her terribly. Okay.
And then she reposted all of her
Instagram.
Like, Instagrams that she's claimed she Caroline is saying that like she never cut Natalie out of the, like she never didn't credit Natalie. All the captions said from Natalie and Caroline. And that's what she was proving, I think.
I don't think the captions did. She was adding those now. She's now being like, these were Natalie's captions. And one of the captions was like, Elise pointed this out on Twitter. She was like, she copies Caroline's thing. And the caption was literally, whoa, period. And then underneath it, it said like, this caption was by like Natalie and Caroline. And Elise is like, did she seriously just say
it's that really,
whoa was, was, I don't, co-written?
I just want to know, like, where are her, like, where's her family and all this? And that's also relevant now because her, literally today or yesterday, her dad died.
Yeah. Weird, though. Okay, there was something weird about that. Assuming her dad really did die, I feel very badly for her. But there's something weird because she writes in, she puts up a carousel, like, multiple pictures of him and whatever. And then she writes that, her, like, it was her last text to him. But the text was from August 25th. Which is like kind of a while ago. And it was a picture and where she just said, I love you. But that was the last text, August 25th.
Right. Meaning like what? They haven't spoken in a month. I think that he was sick.
Right. But like you would still maybe. I just find it weird that it would be from that long ago. Although, if she is really like the person I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Right. Who doesn't speak to their family.
Doesn't speak to the fam because there's. Typically, my guess is that there's issues with the fact that she spends all of her parents' money.
Right.
And does nothing or pretends to do shit, but doesn't actually have income.
Almost definitely.
So it's possible that throughout his illness, they were still not getting along because of the life choices she's made.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anyway, that makes sense to me to like try to understand where the family is. I just want to understand like what are her what's her finance situation?
Money from the family.
What is she doing?
It's the only way
to make money.
Like or her, like her highlights baby.
Are this number one with a moon, depression. The next one just blue, fucked up. Next one a flower that says dad. Next one that's another blue but a different shade, Sicily. Another one with a picture of a like a silhouette of a dome, Cambridge.
Oh my God.
Another picture of a church-esque thing, Oxford.
I wonder if she graduated. That was not mentioned anywhere.
It was written, I read somewhere that she like graduated like a lower, it said like a lower
She attended one degree, class and got a certificate.
A lower student degree. No, she did have it like a dissertation. And it was something so fucking stupid.
There's no way that girl wrote her own dissertation.
I mean, I don't know. She has one that's just Kavanaugh.
Like Brett?
I don't know. She's so royal wedding. Four Instagram highlights of royal wedding. I would love to go back. And then she has like 25 of different types of flowers.
You know, you can watch them.
This girl does not purge her Instagram highlights.
The girl.
Sorry, my mom is sending me videos of her vacation.
The girl is just, I mean, it's kind of a sad situation. But I think that like sort of the story is really one of just like toxic friendship rather than being like like, Natalie is not that healthy either. And it seems like they were just sort of like doing a lot of drugs together and like having fun. And Natalie was in, like, obviously it's a toxic dynamic.
Oh, Carol. Oh, this is what the suicide was. Carol. Okay. Because of the, so a large part of the story that in the essay that Natalie writes on the cot is that, like, Natalie was texting her, was like, I don't think I can finish this book, after the proposal was all set. And Natalie was like, oh my God, let me come and try to help you. So she comes, she tries to help her, notices that her life in Cambridge isn't all that she like makes it look like on Instagram. She has no friends. She's not really like this girl.
That was one of the most interesting
things. Influencer. And that's what was trying, that's what kind of started to break Natalie's like
spell.
Exactly. Spell. That's a great word for it. So then, so Natalie, in attempts to help Caroline, wrote one of, like, tried to push off the publisher, the deadline, because she kept missing them, by writing like a large portion of the beginning of the book. And Caroline, instead of being like, thank you, just like, I hate this. And she said that she threatened to kill herself. You can, if you write any more of this book, I will kill myself. And that's that, which is crazy. The end of the essay, the cut story, was actually so interesting, where she, I want to just actually read it, because it was like, hold on, I have 85 tabs open on my phone. Because I kept thinking how it's just like the movie Ingrid Goes West, and she calls that out in the end. My phone just crashed. The stupid Apple is slowing it down.
The last line was something like, I can't help being a part of the story that Caroline keeps telling about herself.
No, it was about like how she is herself. She's the mark of her own scam.
Yes.
Like, this is why when people ask me if Caroline is a scammer, I try to explain that if she is, her first mark is always herself.
Right. I think that's true. It's interesting, because I'm now following this girl, and I have, like, everything I've seen of her, I'm like, I do not get the appeal why anyone would be taken by this person. Like, she's not that exciting.
Wait, this is great. She could have been paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Okay, this is what she's being. Since then, Caroline has become for me something to explain during job interviews, a party anecdote. People ask me if she's a female Billy McFarland, both characters from Ingrid Goes West, Anna Delvey with an art history degree, but I push back. If this was just money and fame she was after, all she had to do was be quiet and let me do the work. She could have been paid hundreds and thousands of dollars, gone on the tour she's always wanted, and recorded the audiobook in that beguiling voice of hers, but she had to be the one to tell her own life story, even if she couldn't. Caroline was caught between who she was and who she believed herself to be, which in the end may have been the most relatable thing about her. That, I thought, was really good. This is why when people ask me if Caroline is a scammer, I try to explain that if she is, her first mark is always herself. Like, I thought that was the most interesting thing, that the most relatable thing about her.
Natalie is a great writer.
This is really good writing. So I believe that she's going to write, like, there's going to be a movie, probably on Netflix, about this whole thing.
There's obviously a severe codependency between them. And Natalie was and Natalie was like the one who was in the worst situation. But to get into a codependent relationship, you have to be like somewhat probably a little unhealthy yourself.
Yeah.
And so they're both two unhealthy people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been this intertwined. And part of what like makes someone like able to make like good art, writing even, is that they have a little bit of an issue.
Well, yeah, part of the issue is that they were both very young. They were like 2019 or something like that, like still in college.
Yeah.
And both very impressionable, and Natalie more impressionable than the other one because she really hasn't found her identity yet. So she like pressed herself on to Caroline, who was creating an identity for herself that was branched out of nothing.
Right.
You know, like just like it came from like thin air. Yeah. Of what she wanted herself to be, but it had no connection to who she actually was. So, like, that part makes sense. And now I feel like she's probably, I'm sure when she got out of it, she learned a lot about herself, Natalie.
Right. But Caroline seems to have learned very little about herself.
What I also think that this is interesting, I read another essay about this, was that this whole phenomenon is something that it's called infotainment. So it's like, entertainment that happens off screen.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. Like, everybody's talking about an article, or everybody's talking about like a scam.
Yes.
That happened like off.
Convotainment.
Yeah, convotainment, which I love. This is my favorite kind of combo. Same. I can see then there's going to be
where
a movie
you can
about
speculate
it.
About shit, which is why I love the Carly Kloss Taylor Swift thing. Are they dating? Because I got to just like research and speculate to people in my head. regardless of whether or not it's true. But
anyway, everybody should go read this article, because I thought it was, if anything, it's well written. It's like a story. It felt just like a story.
Right. It's an interesting thing. But can I say this situation, plus some others that have happened with influencers lately and also the president, is that I discovered that the real mark of someone who is a true sociopath versus just someone making a mistake is like that they double down. They continuously double down. You look at like all these scammers, and the place that they go wrong, whether it's Elizabeth Holmes or Billy McFarland, is that like once they realize that they can't do what they thought they could do, or that they like made a mistake, or that they've like gotten ahead of their skis, so to speak.
Right.
That whether you are able to say like, you know what, maybe I should like, maybe I made a mistake, I need to stop or rethink things and like reassess.
Yeah.
If you do that, that's like the healthy way of handling something when you like are ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. People who are sociopaths double down and keep going with their behavior despite the criticism and all the people telling them like that you're acting insane. Like,
Is that true though?
I can think of many examples.
Does that make you a scammer? Not. Does that make you a sociopath? I don't know if that makes you.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe sociopath's not the right word. Someone who's like completely
just detached.
Not just attached, though. I think it is something of like a mental issue. Like Anna Delvey did this too. Like when people tell you, yeah, it's like when
I'm behind on my scammers.
Oh, the Not on the True Crime podcast episode with the girl Rachel Williams, who was Anna Delvey's friend or whatever. Like, yeah, that's such a good episode.
Oh, and I'll listen to it.
And it's like that also made me think about it. Like, once they're confronted with their wrongdoing and why they're wrong, right? Yeah,
yeah,
is that they keep denying that they're wrong. Like, where you just can't look at yourself and be like, I was wrong.
Well, the interesting thing about Caroline Calloway is that she often says that she didn't do anything wrong. She says that everything that Natalie wrote was correct. However, in her caption, not however, in addition, yeah, her captions, she justifies everything
with addiction.
That she and the sort fact of wants to, no, like, that it's not really as much she justifies her action with her addiction, but she justifies like the whole tour and all, and now she's selling chapters of her proposal for $5 per chapter, so her max is $50 or something, and people are she's selling it on Etsy, and in an article it was like, I don't even no one really knows if this is legal or not, but she says that like she's creating all this free content. And so like, and so she, people should be paying for it and things like,
well then don't that, create it. Like,
right. Like that's what I'm saying. She's delusion. I think there's a grand, what is it?
Delusions of grandeur. Yeah. Like she just keeps, and it's also like she says she's sorry, but then she puts it all in this, like addiction box of like, I'm not really responsible because it was my addiction. Like she almost makes it as if it's not something she did. It's like, yes, it was the addiction. So therefore, I'm admitting that is wrong, but I'm not really taking responsibility. That was like my addiction.
Right.
And I did this to people. But I guess she kind of does.
You know what's so interesting now to bring this back?
She still doubles down
the episode of Diet Starts Tomorrow we have with Noah, and he talks about Noah Neiman of Rumble. He talks about like you can justify any wrong action until you take responsibility for yourself.
He talked about this last
this Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
So he said basically that he used to like break into cars when he was younger. He was like do so many drugs, like hard ones and all of this shit. And he said like at that time, like I could literally justify anything that I was doing bad. It was more so that like when I had to start taking responsibility for myself and like realize, oh shit, like I'm broke and I actually I'm not a good person or like something like that.
Right.
That's when you can turn your life around. But like a lot of these people like Billy McFarland and they went down the rabbit hole. Remember like after he like got in trouble and he was about to be like arrested, he started the other company of like selling people concert tickets.
Right. Caroline's doing the same thing by selling her book chapters on Etsy. Like they all just, they can't stop. It's like compulsion.
She made like some other event called The Scam. And I don't know if it's a real event. I don't know if it's like a, you know.
They can't help it. It is a compulsion that comes from within.
Performative art.
They can't stop. Like they just can't.
It's just so interesting. I think this isn't the end. I think it's going to unfold because she's obsessed.
I think she's going to continue to.
She's obsessed with the story about herself.
Up. It's going to be her fault.
Well, she is gaining fame. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't really matter for her because
it's going to be fame that she can't cash in on.
Yeah, maybe she'll sell her life rights. and like, and it's gonna be bad, but she, maybe she'll make some money off of it.
Yeah, but then she'll just blow the money in 2 minutes because that she can't have her job. Issue.
But anyway, so that's the whole story basically so far.
It's weird. It's just so weird because it's like a story about nothing. But exactly. It's, but it's like she makes it about something. Like she makes the story a story. But it's really not about anything. Like she's about two dysfunctional people.
Right. Which is interesting.
She's no one
which
who
is
has
a book.
Made herself into
which is a story.
It's crazy.
It is a story.
Scammers make me believe that I could do anything. But then I'm like, why can't I?
Why? What do you want to do?
Like, I always think about scammers. No, not scam. No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, when I see a scammer, I'm like, if they could do this, why can't I do anything? You know, like anything good.
You're grounded.
No, I don't. No. I don't mean like, why can't I do any scam?
I know what you're saying.
Why can't I do anything that I truly intend to do with purpose that is I believe in?
Well, because they don't have any barrier of like why they're interesting is that they don't believe that they can't do anything.
But why can't I have no barrier for something good?
Because then you'd be a scammer.
But it could be good.
But you won't see the difference.
I suppose. I don't know.
You know?
The power of human will.
I mean, there are like many, many entrepreneurs, though, who also have no barriers of what success looks like.
True.
But they know right from wrong.
Okay. That's what I mean. Why can't I just
you
go
can.
Forward? What I mean is like, why can't I charge forward
with
that determination?
You have limiting beliefs, Sam. You have limiting beliefs.
I do have limiting beliefs.
If you want, I don't want to get all intense here, but... Today, we are sponsored by BetterHelp. So everybody knows that we are huge proponents of therapy. It's an amazing tool that everybody would benefit from. So that's why today we are so excited to talk about BetterHelp. So BetterHelp is basically like online counseling. It connects you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's extremely convenient, and you can get help at your own pace. So you talk to a therapist, a licensed professional, and they specialize in all various different types of things like depression, stress, anger, family conflicts, relationships, anxiety. We all know everybody has anxiety these days, grief, trauma, anything that you want to talk about. There's somebody to talk to you about it with. And everything that you share is confidential. They have 3,000 licensed therapists across all 50 states in the U.S. And it's available worldwide. You can text them, chat, phone, video, and you can start talking to someone under 24 hours, especially if you really kind of want help right now. And it's available on desktop, mobile, Android, iOS apps, everywhere you guys talk to people on. You can schedule video sessions, phone sessions, whatever you want. And also important that financial aid is available for those who qualify. But it is important to say that it's not a crisis line, but it is a place that you can look or seek help. And it's a really affordable option. And our listeners get 10% off for your first month with discount code SLAPPED. So why not try and get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/slapped. And you simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/slapped.
Dear Betches,
I just have a lot of feelings.
Okay, let's do an email. Okay, this is in response to our succession conversation because we haven't watched this episode yet since it is not out. And since we're recording early, we're just going to talk about it via somebody's response. Dear Betches, I was listening to the most recent episode and your questions over what all the little subtleties in Succession meant and just had to share my thoughts. First of all, I saw this whole episode as an allegory for the... Oh, God, is this Caroline Calloway? I saw this whole episode as an allegory for the art of high-stakes negotiation.
Well, it wasn't quite an allegory. I think it was
a metaphor.
Not a metaphor. That was what happened.
Yeah, that is what happened. Both families were performing. Each and every move was calculated. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yes.
This is how the 1% wage war. It's not just about buying the company, like what you guys said about the clothes they wear. When you have that much money, you show up by communicating that you don't need to show off. Also, when you're this rich, money doesn't motivate you. It's about power. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They're basically buying the Pierce's power from them.
Yes.
She was explaining the email. Yeah, which my friend texted me and I was like, oh, and then I explained to you the email. She was saying that there was no email and he was pissed because he had been bluffing about walking away. He still wanted their company, wasn't going to get it. The reason he was upset, though, is not that he felt he should have taken the deal or offered more money, but because he was losing the power. Right, right, right. kids as duds. She's categorizing her email.
Yeah. Well, I like it. I like an organization.
Same. I love it. Bullets are great. Kids as duds. Yes, they are showing how nepotism has allowed the offspring of uber wealthy to coast through life with nothing to offer. Privilege has put mediocre people who have no business controlling so much of America in positions of power. See Ivanka Don Jr. Eric. Also very great observation. Yeah. Which also, I rewatched the episode because it was so good. I thought an important part was when right before Kendall and the cousin make out, she goes, "You're such a little nothing." Right. And he goes, "Yeah, well." And then they just like, it doesn't matter.
Right. True.
Nan's performativeness. Yes. I picked up on that too. Yeah. I also rewatched it when she goes, "Mark."
You saw it.
Yeah, her eye fucking twitched.
It was like the best acting ever. It was really good.
One eye went bigger than the other.
Right, but so quickly and so subtly.
Yeah. He's like, "Okay, I'll show you our little corner of the
sky. The universe.
The sky." Yes, I picked up on that too. I think the chef lady dynamic was meant to show that it doesn't matter if they're liberal or Republican. These uber wealthy families are all the same kind of terrible. They just perform their privilege differently. For liberals, it's the quest to be woke while hypocritically continuing to perpetuate the very institutions they claim to be against. Example, she's telling the woman to take a break to have a drink but doesn't truly mean it. She's paying her to serve. She then swoops in and takes the credit for all her hard work. After all, she's paying her to do it. This is so good.
Yeah, this girl's very, very,
very, I take away my Caroline smart. Calloway comment.
I mean, she did use the word, open with the word allegory.
Yeah.
She's never, you know, I mean, it is real, but I don't think it was an allegory. I think this is what really happened.
An example.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also think this is interesting and it's a great, I really like this type of
email response.
Email. Do this more often, guys.
Yeah. Especially about our favorite topic. Yeah. I think this is completely
also when I was watching the episode again, I was thinking, this is my favorite show.
Me too. I know.
Like it's perfect show for me. I even watch the opening opener.
Yeah, and because
and
the
music.
See, yeah, like you see who they were when they were younger.
And like the perfect, like,
it's perfect show.
It's the perfect show. The way that they show like the kids and like the dad walks away and how like it's done in like old film. I love it. It's really amazing. So, and also the dynamic with Roman. This is just has become a Succession stan show, but Roman being like is so funny.
He's so sad but so funny. And he like embraces the fact that he's like a dud. You know what I mean?
He's the only one who knows it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Which is interesting because the other two don't.
No.
In fact,
the other three don't.
I think that Shiv, yeah, the other three, right. I keep forgetting about the older one. Shiv is the worst one, I think.
No, Connor's the worst one.
Connor's
the worst.
But he's
worse than Shiv.
Connor is worse than Shiv, and I also want to say that he is the most benign, but not true because he's running for office.
Also,
which is great.
Kendall, Shiv is actually way more harmless than Kendall.
I don't agree.
I
don't agree.
Fucks shit up for himself.
I think that Shiv is all talk and doesn't actually know anything.
Exactly. All she does is talk, but she makes very little damage. Kendall makes actual damage because he's
but
in positions of power and fucks up.
But she thinks that she can be CEO.
Yeah, but so maybe she
it's
will.
Gonna
maybe
be
she
me.
Won't. Maybe she will. Maybe she won't. But like, she doesn't act like she's sort of like has no impact. Kendall like has
but
fucked
she
up
might.
Things. Kendall was like in a crack den in the last episode of the first
season.
I know,
I love Kendall.
Right. Like Shiv wouldn't take over the company, but she also, I mean, maybe she will, but she also wouldn't be in a crack den. So,
yeah,
you know.
There's different like, yes and no, like maybe she's in a crack den of her own life. I don't, I thought was so.
She's able to maintain normalcy the best of the kids is what I think. She's able to maintain an image of
Of
normalcy. Right. But like that's what's important to them.
Correct.
That's what I mean. That's why she is actually kind of the best candidate because she can like hold it together and make it look fine.
But I think that Kendall has the most substance. Like, I think that he would be most willing to run the company in the most smart way.
I think you're
like,
right.
He like actually knows what he's doing. His experience. Shiv has zero.
Right. Kendall's
issues. She's all talk. She's all politics consultants. It's all about what people like. It's not about anything else.
Kendall's issues are more like, Kendall has more, he's more
in depth.
Competence, but also more problems.
Right.
Shiv has less competence, less problems.
I think Kendall is more emotionally smart and that's why he has the most like physical issues.
Yeah.
Mental issues.
But also ability.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is another part that I noticed the first time, but I didn't bring it up. And then we can stop talking about Succession.
You don't have to, though.
At the dinner table, when they kept panning on what's his name? Roy. What's the dad's name?
Logan.
On watching his own children.
Yeah.
Like, they kept showing him watch his own kids. And, like, that's how they, like, showed the conversations through his eyes. And when the Pierce family was, like, quizzing Roman on what he was reading.
That was so funny.
It was really, really, the electric circus. Who was it by again?
And the girl Googles it. Yes,
Googling it. And then Shiv starts to egg him on. She's like, yeah, who's it by again? What did you read? As if, like, she can't contain herself at this dinner when she doesn't really see, like.
She doesn't see herself as on their team.
She doesn't get it. Like, I don't think she sees it. And I saw when, I keep wanting to call him Brian Cox, Logan Roy, like, sees that. And he's like, this girl, like, she has no idea what she's doing. Like, you have to think about what people are looking at you.
How he knows his kids are duds.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so.
And Jerry knows that Jerry's the first to say that she can't handle the ship. And she goes, maybe the second.
I feel like Jerry sticks in for the entertainment and the money, but, like, kind of more the entertainment even at this point.
Well, no, the money. Like, she needs, it's good money.
I'm sure she gets paid a lot.
And she's a really competent woman. Right. She's like one of the smartest.
She should really be running it all. She's like a lawyer, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think she stays for the entertainment. I think she likes
the
dysfunction. Same.
She likes to make this kid feel like a disgusting little. That's why she thinks it's funny. You watch her, like, laugh about it. She's not getting off on it.
Right. She's, yeah.
She thinks it's hysterical.
So if Greg is my favorite character, Jerry's number two.
Jerry's number two is a person or is a character? She's not funny enough to be a
person.
Just
like, I like them.
They're good peeps.
I'm happy when they're on.
Anyway, I'm excited for this next episode.
Same.
We're excited to share that a friend of the pod, Sophia Bush, is launching her own podcast called Work in Progress. On it, you'll hear frank, funny, personal, professional, and sometimes even political conversations with people who inspire Sophia about how they've gotten to where they are and where they think they're still going.
She's talked to people like Gloria Steinem, Chelsea Handler, Karamo Brown, Jay Shetty, Katie Kirk, Whitney Cummings, Jon Favreau, Lisa King, and so many more. It's refreshing to hear that even some of the most successful people out there still feel like a work in progress. And it's interesting to hear that what they're still working on within themselves.
Sophia's conversations are thoughtful, dynamic, important. Not only will listeners learn more about the guest, but they'll also learn more about Sophia. I know we're so excited to listen to this show, and it'll be coming out twice a week. So here's a clip, and if you like what you hear, go head over to her show and subscribe.
How do you even begin to determine that codependency is a thing in your life? And for you, as you said, it was this condition where you couldn't tolerate not being liked. You couldn't tolerate having low self-esteem. And so you'd focus on the needs of other people so that you didn't have to focus on your own stuff.
Yep. That's a really big crux of it. And something interesting that you said that I always want to delineate is I think a lot of people look at me and they go, she doesn't have low self-esteem. There's a difference between low self-esteem and confidence. And there's a difference between low self-esteem and, like, charisma or charm. And oftentimes, the loudest, most gregarious, most outgoing people have the lowest self-esteem because they're trying to overcompensate for something that they think that they're lacking.
New thing, we're playing a game.
The ranking game. Okay, this week we're ranking types of vacations since Aileen and Jordana are currently both on vacation. So we have beach.
My future self is on vacation.
We have beach, cruise, big city / sightseeing. So think like Paris, London kind of thing. Camping, not glamping. And then you have like adventurous, exotic, culture shock vacations, like going to like Southeast Asia kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Skiing and theme park / Disney World.
Question. Where does the cruise go? Because there's two very different cruises.
The best. Oh, I don't know.
Like, there's one type of cruise that can take you, like, to see different, like, parts of the world. Like, every day you go, you're in a new town. Or there's a cruise where it's, like, all about the cruise. You stay on the cruise. You dock. You don't really give a shit of where you are. You're just there for the weather, but you're staying on the cruise.
Let's say cruise for the cruise sake.
Oh, okay. That's only fun if you have a huge group of people, but
I can't like camp like for real, but
like, are we talking can we make it glamping? Because I'm
okay, fine, we'll make it glamping.
I've never been like to Southeast Asia or anywhere like
have you ever been anywhere like Costa Rica type?
Yeah,
that, I would put that in that category, like South America.
Yeah, like it's, you have to wear like sneakers
sometimes.
Okay, like, so like number six. Yeah, like I'm like, it's not a so maybe I'll put the cruise up higher. Okay. Ugh, but outdoorsy is fun because you're in the sun. This is really too hard for me. I love vacation. I'm crossing all my options out. One.
Okay, I think we both agree beach is number one.
Beach is 100% number one. I can like cross that out.
Okay.
The rest for me are like, which is the least worst.
I have, okay, after beach, I have adventurous, exotic.
Yeah, okay, I agree with
kind
you.
Kind of vacation. I agree. Where you like go see some rice paddies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like seeing culture.
Greenery.
You
meet a villager or two.
Like going to Ireland.
Not the city part though.
Yeah, yeah, like the land.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. Stonehenge. Okay, that's number two for me.
Okay. Culture shock. Like you see something
culture
new.
Shock. Yeah, 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 yeah. Two.
Okay. I put that as two and skiing as three.
Do you ski?
I mean, you know I try to ski, but like.
Do you ski?
I like the idea of skiing. Okay.
You like the okay.
I like the vibe. I like ski vibes.
Ski vibes.
Like our bachelorette.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like skiing, but I hate like the cumbersome clothing.
Same. But that's why. We're not going to ski on my bachelorette. We're just going to be around the skiing.
Although I used to love snowboarding. It's my favorite thing to do.
It's a good vacay. You go in the hot tub. You drink.
Three. Okay. Okay. I'll put it as three. We have to agree. So
I put four.
We don't have to agree.
No, I put four as big city sightseeing. So like
that's number
Prague,
seven.
Paris. You wouldn't like to go to, what if it's a cool city you like? Any?
I hate it.
I like walking around a new city.
I literally... My anxiety is so heightened in big cities.
It is for me too, but I still think it's cool because I'm like, I want to see the city.
I do, and it's my anxiety ruins it. Like I think I'm like, I'm gonna die any second now. Somebody's gonna like there's pickpocketers everywhere. Like I hate it. I almost hate it. I put that as last.
Okay, I'm still have it four.
Also, I remember my parents when I went on a trip to London. My parents made me go on that double decker bus, and I like just passed out the whole time. I felt so bad. I just couldn't stay awake. The bus was like so.
I would
like,
love to go back to London, and I would love to. I wouldn't pick that type of vacation, so I probably would not really go there unless I was just stopping on the way home from a more remote vacation.
Yeah,
but I do like that kind of vacation. I just wouldn't necessarily pick it.
The only cities I love are like. Florence, because it's not so big city.
That's still sightseeing though.
Yeah, but I
love Florence.
How is that not like a slight culture shock? It's like a different place.
I mean, it's culture shock, meaning like you're in the middle of nowhere. Like when I was staying in a treehouse, that's culture. That's adventurous culture shock.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
There's no cell phone service the whole time.
I like camping because it's a little bit more intimate.
I put that next after big city sightseeing.
I think I'm going to do that as four and then big city sightseeing as five, then cruise six.
I also put cruise six and then
park,
theme park.
Disney World. God help me.
I will
me.
Never, ever.
God help me. Like
ever.
Until you have children, you might.
I can't. The kids are going to have to, if there are kids, they're going to have to learn how
to. The kids are going to have to go with their nannies.
No, not the nanny. Kidding. They're just going to have to learn how to take a vacation that I like.
They're just going to have to learn how to go to Southeast Asia with me, okay?
I'm not going to Southeast Asia for a long time. That was a very, very long flight. It was like, I was out of commission for like a month.
Yeah.
You can't just take those big adventurous vacations and then like come back to the next day. You're bounced back. Like it's a weird shock.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that side of the world for a bit.
Well, I'm going to New Zealand and area.
Tell
and
me how Bora, you think Bora. It is. Part of the challenge of it is simply the travel.
It's 24 hours.
Yeah.
One way. Ashley told me that when she went to like that area or one of those areas, she went for like a few days because like her previous job paid for it.
Maldives.
She said like it took me like 2 weeks to get back just from the, like the time fuck.
Part of the issue with that is that, yes, that's true on the way back. But like when you're on the vacation, it your body feels weird.
Yeah.
Like my body felt weird the whole time because it was like the time change was killing me. I was like up all night.
Were you in the Southern Hemisphere?
Yeah.
Maybe Singapore, that's what it is. You were upside down.
It was both. No, it was really both.
No, but you were physically upside down.
What do you mean?
Like, think about it. Like, the globe is a sphere. Is this the most idiotic thing I've ever said? No. Because
I see what you're saying because I'm standing on the earth.
You're standing on the earth and you're physically another direction on the earth. Gravity is pulling you a different, it's pulling you in towards the center, but still coming from a different direction.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I felt so weird. Like I loved that vacation, but I can't like forget about how I felt.
I mean, think about the science of this. On the Southern Hemisphere, the toilet flushes in the opposite direction.
I didn't notice that. Maybe I just didn't.
Unless that's a myth they tell you, but it's not. It's true.
I think it's true.
The seasons are opposite. It's wild.
Right.
Because of science.
Also, when you travel for that
or
long,
just like physics
it like
Earth.
It changes you, and then your Earth body science. Feels weird. So it's like the way you feel in a big city plus the fact that you're actually like in such a different place.
I think I'm.
That was what I struggled with.
I think it's
with.
Because it we're cool. upside down.
Okay, I'll take it.
I'll all let right. you know.
Who should we bet slap? The upside downness of of the Southern Hemisphere.
I think we should bet slap probably Caroline.
Oh yeah, duh. Okay.
Scammer of the week.
Yeah, bet slap and Caroline. Come on, Car.
Come on, Car. Caroline Kensington III.
Okay, when I was young, I wrote a fake book, like, you know what I mean, like as I would do
a fuck?
I was, like a child book, like okay. You know what I mean, like I typed some stuff,
okay,
and it was my book,
yeah,
like, and I had a character named Caroline Kensington. She was the main character.
You would.
Do you want to know why I think where I think it came from? Now that
it
I'm
takes
thinking about
two.
It takes two. Yeah, that's obviously where it came from.
Yeah,
so because there was a Caroline and there was a Clarice.
Was she a
Kensington.
Princess?
She was just like an heiress.
An heiress. An heiress. She reaped the benefits.
Yeah.
Of being royal.
This is what I wished I was, obviously. A lot of projection.
All right, guys. This has been fun. Sorry you missed Jordana. We had fun.
Well, she'll be back.
She'll be back next week. Email us, slapped@betches.com, if you have any, like, if you have any thoughts or explanations like this girl did, which we loved.
Yeah, we love hearing, like, your opinions and insights on things that we like to dissect, like convotainment.
Combo, info, convotainment. Email us.
Forget infotainment. Okay, we're inventing convotainment.
Email us, slapped@betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. Tell all of your friends, especially if you're like, who is Caroline Calloway? And someone was like, one of your friends like, who is it? And you're like, actually, I just listened to this great podcast episode about it. And you just go to the podcast app and just share it. Press that little square button with the upward arrow and you just share it to them. The little house that you have on your Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, not your Instagram, your podcast thing. And you share it to them and they're like, oh, interesting. And that'll be really helpful for us because
you know what else
we just explained it to you.
You know what else you could do? Rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, rate.
We really like when you do that. It means a lot.
We're just going to break it down for you. First, you rate it. So you like do the stars. Then you review it by like
writing
something that you felt strongly, hopefully positively, yes, to in the section. You press submit. And then you check if you subscribe to Slapped. And when you realize you didn't, you press subscribe. For those who realize they are, you ignore it. You just say rate, review.
I feel like you're explaining this to your mom.
Sometimes you just have to review. If I was explaining to my mom just like that, she'd be like, what is
subscribe
a podcast app? Which she has. She, because I've explained to her that I have a podcast and she's just like, where do I watch it?
Okay, well, at least she's not my mom who thought that I was not
I think
going.
She was just trying to gain sympathy.
Gain sympathy or get you to join? I like offer to go with her so then she could be like, Aileen asked me what I'm doing. Do you
I'm
want
hungry.
To invite her?
Guys, I bought an air fryer and I made the fucking most delicious. First time I made chicken, it wasn't so good. I think I cooked it for too long and Sammy suggested I didn't use enough oil. So this
or
time
time
around,
too much time.
Too much time, yeah. Cooked it too long and not enough oil. So this time around, I marinated my chicken tenderloins in a, no offense to vegans and vegetarians, I marinated them in sesame oil and coconut aminos teriyaki sauce for like literally 20 minutes max in a bowl. Then I put it in my fucking air fryer and I cooked it for 18 minutes on 390 and they were so good. I'll show it to you now, Sammy. I'm about to eat it.
Guys, we are not sponsored by Big Air Fryer, but if you are from an air fryer company and would like Ninja. To sponsor us, Ninja, whatever it is, I have personally have a Kasori. We'll take, you know, we would love to be sponsored by Air Fryer because we genuinely love air fryers.
I genuinely love
And if you want to be the brand who takes over our air fryer combos, you can be that brand.
You could.
Be the air fryer brand that you wish to sponsor see in the world.
Be the air fryer you wish to see in the world. All right. Bye.
Goodbye.